Button.
And today, Hawke's triumphant return. We take you backstage. That Princess Di interview, we'll rake through the confessions, the revelations, the bulimia. We'll preview a lesser-known Olympiad, and in his own BBC-style tell-all, Mick Molloy speaks of his morning of horror. We'll have another Brown event, a nostalgic bout of Radio Gladiators, and our guest today, it's another one of our old war buddies, funny bugger, Andrew Goodwin. Yes, it's all coming up on the program that says, hey, mop tops, you can keep your recycled anthology. We've just peeled off the Brown album, Martin Molloy.
Dear, oh dear.
Victims of broken homes, Mickey.
Attempting to have a yodel.
Yes, that's the Cranberries with Dreams. On for a bit of a chant as we open up another round of Martin Molloy. Welcome aboard, everybody. I'm here, Tony Martin, and with me, this bloke, a man of whom Princess Diana this morning said,
yes, I adored him. Yes, I was in love with him. But I was very let down.
Well, there you go. It's pretty candid. She's not mincing words, Mickey.
Want to see a pair of her panties?
We'll have to save some big guns for later in the show because I want to kick things off with Hawkey. And I don't know how he's gone today. I haven't had a chance to look at the news. No. But I think we were all impressed by his entrance in particular yesterday in Sydney there at the commission, whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. But, let's find out from somebody who knows a bit more than us about the situation. And here's how the action unfolded.
Well, there was a tremendous sense of anticipation here at the Industrial Relations Commission as an audience who had paid upward of $500 a seat awaited the return of Bob Hawke on the first date of his Hell Freezes Over tour. Justice Deidre O'Connor, her commissioners and representatives of the CRA and ACTU were kept waiting a full hour and 40 minutes while Support Act Dogstar desperately tried to keep the crowd entertained. Finally, the white stretch limo arrived and the former PM emerged, carried aloft on a large throne by several stars of television's gladiators. Hawke, for no apparent reason, was wearing sunglasses and a surgical mask and seemed nonplussed when on cue a number of schoolchildren ran forward to greet him with a chant of, "We love you, Hawkey, whoever the hell you are." Inside the auditorium, there was a tense moment when Hawke and ACTU Secretary Bill Kelty realized they'd both turned up wearing similarly outrageous hairstyles. Although on the merchandise stands out front, it was the plastic Kelty wigs which proved the most popular with the fans. Plenty of attention, too, for Blanche Delpuget, whose attempt to upstage her husband in a Liz Hurley-style safety pins number served only to confirm the rumours that the couple have indeed gone ahead with the matching tattoos. After keeping the crowd waiting for a further 20 minutes while he and Delpuget retired to Hawke's trailer for what observers describe as a noisy and boisterous act of consensus, Hawke took to the stand, first with a bass guitar, then with an axe, in what most took to be a misguided attempt at some Alice Cooper-style theatrics. He then set the meter running and commenced his 15-hour preliminary address, which in classic Hawke style combined quotes from Shakespeare, Abraham Lincoln, and a full 7 chapters from his own Hawke memoirs, several hundred signed copies of which were still available in a cutout bin in the foyer. Throughout the speech, many left in disgust at Hawke's refusal to perform hits from his Ziggy Stardust period, and by the time he closed with a half-hearted salute to James Brown, few were in agreement with the horn section, who chanted, "Hawkey, please don't go," while an elderly black gentleman attempted to fit the departing ex-PM with a cape. We can only hope things spark up on day two when Bob will speak of his battle with bulimia and preview his eerie new single with the surviving members of the Beatles. Peter Harvey, wishing like hell he was in Canberra.
Lovely Red with Fairground here on Martin Malloy. And Mick, everywhere I'm going today, people are just saying, die, die, die. I'm not sure what it is they mean, but I'm assuming it's this interview on the telly this morning.
Yes, I didn't see it myself. I was up. But Tone, as you know, I'm a Mully Grubs man.
It doesn't matter what they throw against it. I'm not abandoning Mully Grubs.
Mully Grubs,
you know, I've just got used to that scary face. I don't reckon I'm ready for Princess Diana at 8:30 in the morning.
It's too spooky for me, the Mully Grubs. But tell you what, Duff, you didn't see it. And I didn't see it. Sounds like a cue to basically let the listeners do the work.
Absolutely. And that's what we want. We want someone out there who was up this morning, sat through it for its entire duration, is boned up, is a qualified monarchist, knows what they're talking about. We want to hear from you, and we want you to tell most of our listeners, who we can pretty much guarantee wouldn't have been up at 8:30. Some just arising now. Wakey, wakey. And we want to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, yeah. And Pete, the number to call?
1-800-657-657.
Martin Malloy are proud to present the 24th annual Barnyard Olympics. The world will watch as the games of the 24th Olympiad begin in earnest. Book now for the opening ceremony.
And now, representing our big friends, it's the Ducks. Representing the cream of bovine athleticism, it's the Moo Cows.
The Barnyard Olympics will pit farmyard animals against each other over 2 weeks of gladiatorial competition. Highlights include the 100-meter dash for chooks.
On your marks, get set.
At the Aquatic Centre, all eyes will turn to the giants of dog diving.
Quiet, please.
Farmyard pugilists go at it hammer and tongs in the heavyweight division of cow boxing. And reptiles from around the world converge in their quest to take gold in snake basketball.
Only 10 seconds left on the shot clock now. Oh, and there's timeout called. Well, the python appears to have swallowed the ball whole, and if he digests it, I'd say that's the ball game.
And for the first time in the history of the Barnyard Olympics, witness the introduction of synchronized horse swimming as a demonstration sport. As always, the games culminate in the running of the Bee Marathon.
And the lead bees approach the 16-kilometre mark now. They've broken away from the rest of the bees. Officials offering the sponge, but ooh, ow, ooh, that looks like it hurts. Oh, ooh, ow, ow.
So don't miss the 24th annual Barnyard Olympics, proudly presented by Martin Malloy.
On your marks, set.
Martin Malloy, is that a bit of classic rock right there?
I think it did qualify.
Is Rockvember continuing here on the program?
It's our new innovation. I can't wait till Rock-cember.
Yeah, that's coming up.
Absolutely.
And what about this lady died, Bizzo? Have you found anyone out there in the big brown land who got up early and watched the interview?
There's lots of people promising to help us get to the bottom of it. One of them is Rachel. She's on the line now. G'day, Rach. How are you?
Good, thank you.
All right. Now, look, we don't have a lot of time. I understand she spoke for an hour. We've got about 4 minutes. So let's go straight to the heart of it. What did she say about her bulimia?
Okay. Her bulimia, she said she turned to it to control her life. That's what someone thinks she had control over.
Okay.
So, yeah.
She didn't say it might have just been because she was married to Charles. You know, you just get up and you know, I think you or even me would probably go to chuck 4 or 5 times a day in those circumstances.
Most definitely.
Okay, and did she give a reason for that?
Why she threw up?
Yeah.
She didn't mention her weight, which I was really surprised about.
Yeah,
so I thought she would have been the old...
It wasn't an in-depth interview then?
I didn't think it was.
She was in there for an hour. She didn't throw up during the course of the interview, did she?
No, I was really disappointed about that one.
Okay, we'll hang around. We'll get on to that one next. What about the suicide attempts?
Yep, she did say she did, but she didn't actually mention the word suicide.
Mm. She didn't mention the word suicide.
No, I didn't mention suicide. She was calling out for help, but it wasn't
was
the help
she?
That she needed.
That's a one way of getting help.
But she
help,
didn't show us
it?
The scars either.
She didn't what?
Didn't show us the scars.
Did she tell you how she did it?
She just said her arms and legs.
Oh, right.
No instruments were mentioned.
No instruments were mentioned. Because I heard she made one failed attempt where, you know, the one where you sit in the car and you get the pipe and you attach it to the exhaust pipe and you run it through the window.
But
it failed because force of habit. She just whacked the pipe up her back passage.
Oh, dear.
But, you know, you live and you learn, don't you?
That's right.
She'll get them next time. What about Camilla? Tell her about Camilla. Did she get into Camilla?
Oh, she did. Ooh, that was a good one. She mentioned that she was the third person in the marriage.
Oh, right.
So it was one of those Roseanne deals.
Yeah.
Married to two people at once.
Most definitely.
Okay. Right. And did she say, because there was a rumour that apparently Charles had Camilla's panties. Did she expound on that?
No panties mentioned.
No pants talk at all.
No.
In speaking of Camilla, I'd expect it to be britches anyway. Those witchy poo pants. Panties isn't
the grandma thing.
It's springing to mind.
So all this pants talk in the press all week has just been something made up.
There's probably something we started
there.
I think it might have been. And what about the nuisance calls? Remember, was there some charge that she used to ring some antiques dealer up about 300 times and hang on the phone?
Yeah, she blamed a little boy for doing that one.
She blamed a little boy.
Yeah, it didn't mention names. Could have been William.
Mm. Right. Was she asked about the nuisance calls she's been making to us? Gladiators. Every day she's on there. Can I do my nanny?
Can I play the daggiest record in the house?
Exactly.
There's a lot to choose from.
No, and what about adultery? Because that's been something that's leveled a lot.
That was a good one.
Was it?
She did the old nod the head and then say something. So she didn't. She said yes, she did, but the nod of the head sort of went first.
She knew she nodded
the head, so then she had to speak and confirm it. Otherwise, you know.
Gee, you're not one of the psychologists from one of the women's magazines, are you?
I should be.
You sound like you might be.
Got Athena Star woman on the line.
Well, I have got her on video a few times, so I know her body language by now.
Oh, good on you, Dr.
Right. Rach. Thanks, Rach. Look, we might just go for a second opinion. And have we got Wayne there? On 15, I think, or try 14.
Have we got Wayne?
Wayne?
Yes. Yeah, hello.
G'day, buddy. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Got anything to add? What was the highlight for you?
Well, the highlight was when she had, you know, I reckon she's got balls, personally.
Mm. Was that revealed in the course of the hour?
Well, or was that just
a bit of wild speculation on your part?
No, I just think she has, because the woman got up and she spoke her mind, and, you know, I think everyone will respect her more after this.
Yeah. Mm. Is it the kind of thing, though, that's going to get you turned into pay TV, though, Wayne?
Nah, not in your life.
You're not going to get in for a bit more of that?
I was sorry she didn't show her legs, though, but she was sitting there and she had nice stockings on, but I was a bit disappointed.
Right, no balls.
No, the balls weren't hanging out the
and
bottom.
And legs, okay, right. Well, I think we've sorted that out.
He's a pants man, Wayne.
Yes, definitely that.
Well, I'm glad we gave Wayne the final word because, you know, he's brought it all into context for us. Thanks for that.
Yeah. That's fine.
I think we'll all agree it's been illuminating.
It has.
Just one thing I did find out.
No, do go on.
There's a sequel coming.
Oh, is there?
Yes, Camilla Parker Moles.
Okay. I'm afraid we have no prize for you, Wayne.
That's fine.
But you've certainly won the respect and admiration of everybody in here. So
you know,
good on
you. Everything I know, I've learned from you, Pierre.
Okay. Yeah. Well, sounds like you've been taking extensive notes.
See you in class in the morning.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll be back with more in a moment here on this program right here. It's called Martin Malloy. Madonna with You'll See here on Martin Malloy. And just a reminder, in the next hour, comedian Andrew Goodwin's going to be joining us, and then we'll have another edition of the Brown event. Now, Mickey, we kicked this off yesterday. It's a competition which we've shamelessly fashioned around the release of our own album, the Brown album. Mm. And how did it go yesterday?
The challenge was that you had to rework the titles of Bond films to incorporate the word brown.
Yeah.
So we had, of course, your Brown Finger.
Yeah.
Man with the Brown Gun.
Yeah. And The Spy Who Loved Brown.
Loved Brown. That was my favourite. And you, of course, topped everyone, Toad, with the new one, which I believe is called Brown Eye.
Brown Eye, exactly. And I got the prestigious four-pack of CDs.
You did. You took off the prize in our own segment.
Now, of course, the Brown album, not actually in the shops yet, but I believe it's being shipped out sort of Armaguard van, Beatles anthology style. Mm. There's copies of it handcuffed to blokes' wrists.
Absolutely.
And
nope.
of it until, you know, the people at Mushroom give it the go ahead. And to that end, we've got a very special guest with us today. Please make him very welcome, the most powerful man in Australia. It's Michael Gudinski. Thanks for coming in, Michael.
No worries, lads. Good to be here.
And what have you got? What are these?
Well, you know, EMI have got the Beatles and Mushroom have got Martin and Malloy.
All right. And we've got something that looks like a document there to be signed.
For the first time ever on nationwide radio, a brown contract will be signed in blood.
It is brown. It looks like one of those big shopping bags that you get at a supermarket. Is that what we're signing here?
That's right. These are actual record company contracts on brown paper. And you're telling me that's a first?
That is a definite first.
Okay. Now, have we read these, Mick?
Or don't worry about the fine print, lads. Just the check's in the mail.
Look at him. Look at that face. Yeah, how can you not trust a face like that, T. Martin?
Then now, what do we do?
See that little spot there?
We sign that, but that's your name.
No, that's not really.
Oh, okay.
International Skylark.
Right, okay. Well, I've signed something, Mick.
We'll take care of you.
Mick, come back. You can't leave me here alone.
I've signed mine, Jonathan Coleman. That'll fix him up.
All right, well, okay, so what does this mean now, Michael?
This now means that we are going to barnstorm the whole of Christmas and bombard the whole of Australia with brown albums.
Is this a good thing?
This is a good thing, and Michael came to us with the idea. We said we were going to the idea, and Michael's kicked back and gone, mate, we're going head-to-head with the Beatles on this one. And we wanted to get it out early, and he's just gone, no, we're going to bring it out smack-bang at the same time, and we're going to teach those pussies a lesson. We're going to kick some good old-fashioned Beatle butt on this one. So the brown album, it's out. Is it out yet, Michael?
It'll be out Friday.
Friday.
Okay. And have you got anything else to plug while you're here, Michael? Because we ask all the guests.
I think we've got a few tickets left for Tom Jones and the Eagles, and I think you've got Tom in tomorrow.
Absolutely.
We're talking to him tomorrow.
Now, Michael, am I right in saying you're the person who brought Keanu Reeves out here? Was that your idea?
It certainly was, and the girls are certainly still talking about it.
Okay, very diplomatic.
You've been vindicated.
We've signed some very brown bits of paper, and I'm sure they'll be processed, and hopefully the album's just moments away from you.
Welcome
local
to the team. We'll see you on the top of the charts.
Absolutely.
Does this mean we get to move over to France and for our holidays? Is that part of the deal?
Well, I suppose we could do the French album too.
Okay, that'll be next. But, hey, we've got more important fish to fry next, people. We'll be back in a moment with Radio Gladiators. This is... We're back.
Okay, and pens down. Pens down. It's been like an exam in here. And the writer's cramp.
Yes, the record contracts are officially signed. And... Michael Gudinski's just scarpered out of here with a brown paper bag under his arm.
He's on his way. Good on you, Michael.
We'll see on the top of the charts.
Okay. Oh, well. And now he walks downstairs, he gets into the back of an Army Guard van, I believe, painted brown, and off he goes.
That's right.
Let us know when those CDs are in.
Those contracts were completely bona fide. What was that thing about your third children?
Michael says it's standard. I'm sure it's in all contracts.
Okay, well, let's move on to something even brown. Folks, it's time for a bit of
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Yes, today's challenge involves the wonderful world of television, because I don't know if you were watching the TV last night, Mickey, but there was something on called Cagney and Lacey Together Again. And is that something that the public has been clamouring for? Cagney and Lacey Together Again. Is that something?
Because they tried many of others. I remember that the spin-off series Cagney, and that just died, didn't it? Lacey.
Well, hopeless.
Hopeless.
But do we
put
want
them together?
Is that something that we want, though? I mean, that's like having Simon and Simon together again. It's just, I don't know whether the public's, you know, calling out for
Simon
it.
Simon and Simon.
Well, there were a couple of detectives. They had probably had a beach house and a dog and a wacky secretary, you know.
Hall & Oates.
Hall & Oates together. Now, what we're looking for is TV shows today, okay, people. What we want is we want you to delve back into your mind, into the TV shows of the past, and tell us the show that you'd like to see together again. For example, maybe you'd want to see the Dukes of Hazzard together again. Wouldn't that be great?
Could it be done?
I think Boss Hogg's no longer with us, so it might be tricky, but I'm sure you could get Bo, Luke, Daisy, Uncle Jesse, that mechanic, Cooter.
Oh, mate.
Roscoe P. Coltrane, the Boss sheriff.
Did you mention him?
Yep. Enos, the deputy. And then when he died in mysterious circumstances, Cletus, the replacement.
I'm sure you can get all the cast members back.
It's a star-studded roll call. I'm thinking A-Team.
A-Team.
I'm thinking Murdoch, Mr. T, the whole gang together. Hey, Murdoch, you fool! Remember that? What would you give to hear that once more?
And the guy who had to be smuggled out of the mental home every evening, remember?
That was Murdoch.
Yeah, that was Murdoch.
He's a bit loopy.
And George Peppard, is he still with us? I think he might have gone south, but still, it could be...
Well, that didn't stop the Beatles, did it? You can still come together again.
Indeed, they could use recordings of George Peppard, nutted out on the computer. All right, that's what we're looking for today. We're looking for the show that you'd like to see together again. And by way of prizes, we're talking X-Files. We're talking the unanswered X-File, which is, it's kind of the follow-on from where the cliffhanger ending of the last series was left, because you ain't going to see the follow-up till Channel 10 played around the turn of the millennium, I've been told. So this is your chance to get it on video. It's coming out in the shops.
Channel 10 won't play it till the video comes out, and then they go down and hire it.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's when you'll see it on Channel 10.
Gee, their video shop must have a lot of copies of Prisoner. If that's how it works. But, so it's the unanswered X-File. The winner gets a copy of that, and it answers a fair few of the mysterious unanswered questions from the last bit of the X-File. And then you're also talking hats. You're talking all kinds of T-shirts and gear.
Yep.
And you go into the draw next week. We're drawing the winner of the X-Files jackets. Mm. These are actual X-Files jackets signed by Scully and Mulder themselves. The actors who play them.
Doesn't get any better than that.
And all we want is the TV show you'd like to see together again, and perhaps a bit of a scenario as what might happen in this reunion. Call us now, 1-800-657-657. Hunters and collectors, where do you go here on Martin Malloy? And I think the Hunters might have been... are they on Mushroom? Are they on Mushroom, Gracie? Yep. So they've signed the brown paper contract, and that's all fine?
Oh, they've never signed anything brown. I've never seen anyone sign anything that brown.
Should there have been lawyers and people here? Shouldn't there have been like Boutros Ghali just looking over the...
I'm thinking but we'll wait and see.
It was 78 pages. Is that standard? Gracie, you've been round in the biz. Is that standard?
As long as the writing's small.
Gracie's running for the door, I think.
Yeah. Well, the writing was rather large. I mean, most of it was in crayon.
Indeed. But we're going to get back to business. It's Radio Gladiators. Today, because Cagney and Lacey are back together, and I think we're all celebrating that all around the nation today, we want to know what other shows should get back together. So who have we got, Mickey?
We've got Helen on the line. G'day, Helen.
Hello.
How are you?
Not bad.
All right, now who are you really craving? Who are you busting to see back together again?
I'd like to see the Goodies back together.
Oh, the Goodies.
Goody, goody, yum, yum.
And they're all still with us, aren't they?
Didn't one of them die?
Oh, well, I can't really confirm that.
No, I think the Goodies are still all kicking on.
Otherwise, best you head your head off to a seance, Helen, because that'll be about your only chance. And did you like the Goodies? Did you have a favourite Goodie? Oh, everyone did. Where was the one with the beard? Bill Oddie.
Yeah, he was my favourite.
Did you? Yeah. Well, what do you think about that other guy, Tim?
Yes.
He was a bit British, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was very British. But there was a giant cat in one episode, and I still have nightmares about the giant cat, because it was, you know, I like it when things aren't done too realistically. But in this case, it was terrifying. X-Files-style realism.
Oh, not as realistic as the Loch Ness Monster episode, Tone. All those 55 Rolf Harrises that were running around the countryside. But hey, we don't have time to reminisce now.
Okay, Helen, not a bad suggestion, but let's move on to Gina. Gina, what show would you like to see adding the phrase together again after the title?
I'd love to see Lance Link's Secret Chimp and the Evolution Revolution come back.
Oh, Lancelot Link Secret Chimp.
Yeah. What's
which that? Was basically that was a talking monkeys program, if I remember, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right. They're pretty groovy monkeys from memory.
And obviously they were secret agents.
Yes, that's right.
And how did they actually go about making the monkeys talk? Do you remember? Was it peanut butter? Was it wires?
I don't know. I thought it was maybe a bit of gum in their mouth, but I can't remember.
Okay. Well,
so hang on a second. I've never seen this program. What do you mean? Is it animated? Is it real? Are you got real monkeys?
Seen
are
we talking?
What is it?
It was real monkeys, all dressed up, and there was Lance Link, and there was Mata Hari.
Did one of them go on to star in Clint Eastwood movies?
No.
I think all of them are now programming Channel 10. I think that's how it works. That's what happened to the Lynx.
Beautiful. Okay, thanks, Gina. Not bad. I think, is it Ian? Yeah. Ian's on board. Oh.
Yes.
Now, Ian, what do you want to see back together?
Shaggy and Scooby-Doo.
Oh, Scooby-Doo.
Yeah,
all the cast.
You can't beat it, you know, the typical theme park and a gold heist and Scooby goes and solves it.
Usually the villain is unmasked.
That's right, and they would have got away with it.
That's if it wasn't for the meddling, pesky kids, of course. And who was in there? You had, obviously, there was the kind of good-looking blonde guy. And then there was the good-looking girl, and then there was the not-so-good-looking girl.
Yeah.
With the glasses.
The medium range.
Velma,
that's it.
Yeah. It was an enticing cocktail, and they drove a bit of a Sandman, didn't they?
Yeah, they certainly do.
With
listen to this guy, he knows it all, didn't they?
I think they did.
You give a go a mastermind, that should be your secret topic, pal.
Well, I actually put a bid in for the Scooby-Doo van, because what was it called, do you remember?
No.
It had a name. It had a catchy name that was just said Chick Magnet. Okay, well, thanks for that, Ian. And next up, Lynette. Lynette, what show do you want to see revived?
I like that quality show, Chips, that used to be on a Friday night with Eric Estrada and John Baker.
Oh, yes, indeed. Cops. I'd like to see them together again too, I'd have to say, Lynette.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Maybe the head-on accident. Yeah, I was really waiting for their involvement in that low-speed chase with O.J. Simpson. I was waiting for... here's a challenge for you. I mean, if I haven't embarrassed myself with my knowledge of Scooby... Do you remember the theme music from Chips?
No, I can't remember it now. I can just remember the tight pants and all...
Da, 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 da. Oh, dear.
That was it. Yeah.
You know, I saw a picture of Eric Estrada recently.
Yeah. On the nanny?
And, no, it wasn't on the nanny.
He was on the nanny a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, you'll be quiet now. Yeah. Now, I saw him, and I don't know if he'd get the leg over a bike right now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know how that reunion's going to take place, but it's not going to take place on a highway on a motorbike, unless it's got a sidecar or a trailer.
And what happened to the other bloke?
Well, we never heard of him again.
Yeah,
drinking problem.
That was John Baker, wasn't it?
John Baker, I'm not sure if that was his name, but he's doubtless kicking on in the dinner theatre, I'm sure.
Okay, thanks, Lynette. And finally, Paul, what show would you like to see back together?
I got an Australian classic, Willing and Able.
Willing and Able?
Who was in that? The two clowns from a country practice.
The two clowns from a country practice.
Yeah.
You know, I would have enjoyed Willing and Able more if that had been what it said in the opening titles, with those two clowns from a country practice. Grant Dodwell was one of them.
Can you describe to me any specific storyline? What was it about? What are they, private detectives?
They just solved crimes carrying like fools.
It's a recipe for success. It certainly is.
That was how they sold it to the networks, too. So what's this new show about? Oh, no, it's just a couple of guys that solve crimes and carry on like fools. Beauty.
We'll have a dozen of those. You know, Paul, if you can convince a television network to revive Willing and Able, you know, you'll be up for more than an X-Files prize pack. I reckon you'll be up for a very large check.
Right, I mean, if you can't get them, maybe... You and me, Tony, could take on the roles and make it our own.
Bags me, Dodwell.
All right.
Okay.
Well, I've just been informed that the name of the Scooby-Doo van was, in fact, the Mystery Machine. And see, who wouldn't want to get their hands on a vehicle called the Mystery Machine?
You've just been informed of your title, or you just, you know, actually recall that? You've been sitting there.
It's come to me in a flash. But is that our winner, Scooby-Doo or Chips? Which one do you prefer? I don't think we can give it to Willing and Able.
No, we've got to go Chips.
Okay, Chips! And
that's Lynette.
Lynette!
Yes?
You've got the unanswered X-File. And I just hope they're coming out with an unanswered episode of Chips.
It'd be good to see.
What would be answered?
No idea.
A couple of waistlines. They can get to the bottom of that.
Okay, and that's, that reveals all about the X-Files. And you've gone into the drawer for the X-Files jackets.
Oh, wonderful.
And there's two of them, and I think they're they're an Eric Estrada sizes, so they'll fit anybody. And that's being drawn next Friday, so thanks for taking part, Lynette.
Thank you.
And thanks to all our gladiators. And stick around, folks, after the news. We're talking to Andrew Goodwin.
And
end in this hour of Martin Molloy. Yet another challenging round of the Brown event. But next up, we're talking about all manner of diddly with Andrew Goodwin. And it's all thanks to Telstra Mobile Net Digital.
That's Cheryl Crow, pretty fired up about the whole fun concept here on Martin Molloy. It's the second hour, and fans of the X-Files, I realised that yesterday I promised we'd be talking to Chris Carter on this segment today, the creator of said program, but here's what happened. We had a bit of phone trouble, a bit of technical trouble. In fact, the whole thing was just a little bit creepy.
Yep. And he's nowhere to be seen. He's back in his pod. Chris Carter.
There's an investigation underway, but we promise you, if my name isn't Tony Martin, which, well, there's been a fair bit of trouble about that.
If some people have their way, it won't be.
Indeed. But that's a whole nother spooky segment. We'll have Chris Carter.
We'll get you out of that contract you just signed anyway. Change your name, buddy.
But damn it, he's going to be here tomorrow. I swear to you, we'll have Chris Carter on the line.
Oh, yeah.
From his creepy estate.
We've got Mulder onto it. He always gets his man.
It's in safe hands. He'll be here tomorrow, but as always, when we need somebody to step in at the last minute, I think he just lives around the corner or something. Yeah.
It's our old buddy, Andrew Goodwin.
Thank you, Australia. Thank you. Thank you. I love all of your work.
Alrighty.
As a collective, love it.
Good on you. Now, you've addressed all our listeners individually in one sentence, and that's lovely of you to do that. Now, I understand you've got a bit of a connection at the moment, Andrew, with one of our other favourites on the show, one Judith Lucy.
That's right. I'm homeless at the moment, so Jude is away on tour, so she very kindly said, look, why don't you look after my flat for me, and you'll be right.
And how are things around at Jude's?
Well,
paint a picture for us.
All right, I'll paint a picture for you. You walk up the stairs, and it's completely white. The whole flat is white.
Oh, so it's a bit like...
apart from the... odd vomit stain, I imagine, here and there.
Naturally.
It's a bit like that place at the end of 2001. Is that what it's like?
That's right. And the vomit stains actually give you a bit of perspective, because otherwise you just think, wow, this just goes on forever. You're walking into walls, but then you see the vomit stain, you go, oh, right, wall.
So we're inside Lucy Towers.
Yeah.
And what is there really to look forward to if you're popping around for a
minute? Well, I got there at night, and I walked in, unlocked the door, walked in, and instantly I fell over the bottles. Now, when I say bottles, I mean bottles. The S being the operative letter.
Where does she actually keep that home brew kit?
On the floor of the kitchen.
On the floor
of the
kitchen.
Not hidden. It's not put away. Well, it's not in a dark corner. Yeah. It's there. It's actually on a little pedestal with some religious icons around it.
Kind of like Hawkeye's from MASH.
Oh, it's
just set up.
It's much better than that, though.
Okay. And is there just gags being written everywhere? Is there just works in progress?
I've had a good look.
And who rings for Jude? You're sitting at home, the phone rings, and you answer. And who would it be? Who would call Judith Lucy?
Well, boys, basically.
See, she's in Tasmania at the moment. Show doesn't go there. Say what you want, Andy.
And I opened up the cupboard, because I had to hang my pants up, and as you do. And I opened up the cupboard, and there's a boy in there. And I'm going, he's going, you're not Jude. I said, no, I'm not. Get out.
So she's living a kind of reverse Dean Martin style lifestyle.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's all happening. Yeah. Swinging with the best of them. Now, you're out looking for somewhere to live, is that right, Andy?
Yeah, I had a strange experience because, I've looked at a lot of flats, and I did look at one. I got the key from the real estate agent. I opened up the door, walked in. I'm going, this is not too bad. I reckon I might take this place. Right. And then something about it turned me off. Now, it wasn't the windows. It wasn't the decor. It was the poo on the walls.
Oh, now look. Firstly, you don't want poo on the walls.
No.
And secondly, if there has to be poo on the walls, can they at least put it on the hoarding out the front?
Yeah. Now, what
can you at least have spectacular, commanding views encrusted with poo? Now, you want to see that out the front.
I know, but what they had a bit of manners. They're a little bit civilised.
Very big in LA right now.
Yeah.
Go on.
What they did was they'd actually used pages from the Yellow Pages to, I don't know,
clean up a bit.
Yeah, clean up the mess and the yellow pages were still stuck to the wall by the poo, and I thought, you know, this would make a great yellow pages ad.
Well, it'd make a great brown pages ad.
And, you know, those two girls are going to the, you know, they're saying that guy, you know, where's the yellow pages? Yeah. Oh, it's stuck to the wall with poo.
Now, that's all very well, Andy, and I can see that that whole idea is amusing you way too much for a man of your age. But this is a bona fide thing that happened to you.
It really did happen.
Okay, so you've gone back to take the key back.
You can't make
what
that
have
up.
You said? Like the place, shame about the poo, yeah, I might try somewhere else. What exactly, how did you break it to them?
I walked in there and they said to me, the guy said to me, well, did you like it? And I said, loved it, absolutely loved it. And he was smiling and I said, yeah, but just one thing, the poo on the walls.
Can I see a colour chart? Well, I think almost instinctively you found the level of our program, Andy, and as such we'd like you to stick around for one more break. Would that be possible, or, okay, or have you got to go out?
Well,
and,
can
for
I just
poo?
Say one thing? I've discovered something about Rex Hunt.
Ooh.
Rex Hunt used to be a copper.
Is
now,
that
do you
right?
know that? Just, I mean, I only found this out the other day, and I was wondering if he... I was wondering if he treated criminals the same way he treats fish. Like, this is a big patch, you know. Now, don't do it again.
Sounds like a case for the Rex Files. But that'll be next on Martin Malloy. Carnival, that's Natalie Merchant right here on Martin Malloy, where Andrew Goodwin's still sitting in on the program. Now, Andrew, we were talking X-Files before. We were talking spooky and altogether ooky, mm-hmm, and you can't get much more spooky than Australia's favourite hypnotist, Martin St. James. Now, did you, like a lot of people, grow up with Martin St. James?
I certainly did. And unbeknown to all of us, there was one special person growing up with him as well. That's his son, Shane. Now, I don't know if anyone's seen the late night ads, but his son, Shane St. James, is doing his own little tour thing.
Is he a hypnotist too?
Yeah, it's the same, similar, very similar act. But, you know, the thought occurred to me, what was it like growing up with Martin St. James as your father? Like, I bet he was always trying it out, like practicing the hypnotism on the kids, you know? Like, there's Shane in the backyard on the monkey bars or something. His mother comes out and goes, Shane! Shane! Your father wants to practice his hypnotism on you. So he's walked in. He's walked in and he's going, look into my eyes, Shane. Nah, don't want to, Dad. Look into my eyes and be quick about it. All right, but don't make me act like a chicken every time I hear the Brady Bunch theme.
That's what they do. Is that all they do? Is that what the show is? Is that what the ad should say? Just, hey, come along and see Shane St. James. He's going to make you act like a chicken. Because I've seen all the ads, and that's all you basically see.
Yeah. I mean,
grown people acting like chickens.
Works very well in the country, though, because, you know, they love their animals out
there.
You
can do the whole farm yard.
Yeah.
You know, you can take requests. You can run the gamut. Hey, who's now, I noticed that Shane St. James, from what I can tell from the ads, like his father, has got the spooky hypnotist's pointy beard happening.
Yeah.
Which
you've
got to have. But to me, Martin St. James, see, that's spooky, but Shane. I can't get past the Shane. Yeah, I'm sure he's a spooky guy.
Yeah,
he's got the beard, but Shane.
I'm
it's
sure
hard to be spooky with the name Shane.
This is going to follow him wherever he goes. And I think, like you, he should change his name.
Exactly. So he's a magician and basically only under the father-son rule.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying to me.
I think that perhaps, I don't know whether you want to do this or not, guys, but maybe you should have some sort of phone in or something for an alternative name for Shane.
Shane. A spooky name.
Yeah, a spooky one.
Greg. Greg St. James.
Well, I'll tell you what. That sounds good.
I'd like the key, haven't I? Do I win anything? I'm always keen on the Christian name Huckleberry myself, but because you don't see it very often these days. It's always one of my favourites, but it's not quite right, is it?
Huckleberry. Marmaduke
St. James. If you've got a spooky new name for Shane St. James, we're trying to help the St. James family out, people. It's the fax number here is 1-800-816-679. 1-800-816-679. That's free from anywhere right around the big brown spooky land.
I sort of wonder if, you know, Martin is not a little bit pissed off about his son. Like, it's professional jealousy. I mean, you know, what's going on? Are they going to have a hypno down one day? They're going to see each other in the main street of some country town they're doing. You know, one's at the footy club, the other one's at the leagues club. Oh, at the RSL. They see each other on the main street and they're both going, look into my eyes.
And they just stare at each other out until one of them, and only one of them, starts behaving like a chicken. And that's when you have your winner.
Well, it's a melting pot of ideas, Martin Malloy, and thanks for contributing to the tapestry of fun today, Andrew. Good one.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. I'm out of here.
Nothing to plug?
Okay.
We've hypnotised you. What do you have to plug?
I am going to act like a chicken every weekend for the rest of the year at the venue formerly known as La Joke at the Last Laugh.
In Melbourne.
Melbourne in
Collingwood. So if you're around, you can catch a bit of Andy G. And thanks, Andy. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Thanks, right here, guys.
On Martin Malloy. I send a message that's in excess here on Martin Malloy, and the messages are coming out of the fax machine because when Andrew Goodwin was here, he was suggesting that perhaps Shane isn't quite spooky enough a name for Shane St. James, the hypnotist, and what have these faxes got to say? Well, here's one from Stephen Brisbane. He's suggesting simply Mortimer St. James. And I like, he's drawn a creepy kind of beard, too, which is
Emma's just handed me one that says, try Boutros St. James. That's just about a winner.
Yeah, it's pretty hypnotic, too.
Yes.
Just you saying it was almost sending me into a hypnotic trance.
Boutros St. James. James.
Someone said Fox St. James, which I'm assuming is a reference to Fox off, you know, Fox Mulder. Off, the X-Files.
Absolutely.
As opposed to a reference, cunning reference to our Melbourne office.
Oh, no.
Fox FM. Now, okay, but I don't think none of them quite as, you know, I'm suggesting.
We're still waiting. Oh, here comes Emma again. Maybe we'll ask her to deliver this one in person. Come on, Mike, Em.
Okay.
Turn on the mic.
What you got there for
here
us?
Here comes the new name for Shane St. James. It's.
There's three. Wayne St. James, are you game St. James? I can make you act like a chicken St. James.
I can make you act like a chicken. St. James.
Yeah, that's a pity there's no prize.
Mind you, Wayne St. James is pretty good too.
Okay, well, enough hypnosis talk because it's time.
It's time for the Brown Event. To celebrate the release of the new Martin Malloy double CD, The Brown Album, Mick and Tony have created radio's Brownest competition. Simply by participating in the Brown Event, you'll score yourself a copy of the Double Brown, together with the new improved 4-pack of CDs. Then, if you successfully complete today's Brown Event, you're in the draw for a trip for two to Noumea, flying Air Caledonie, and staying 7 nights at the fabulous Nuvata Park Royal. Okay, lads, let's have today's challenge, and remember, keep it brown.
That's right, the Martin Malloy Brown Album is being shipped to your local record shop, even as we speak, and if you weren't listening earlier, there was a rather bizarre ceremony taken place on the show. Yeah. We had Michael Gudinski, the most powerful man in the country, in here, presenting us with some brown paper contracts, and we signed them. Didn't bother to read them. We just signed them, and then he was gone.
And as he left, he was laughing like this.
He was laughing maniacally as though he just had an encounter with Shane St. James. That was how it seemed to work. But, yes, the Brown is coming out in the shops. And that's why we're presenting every day on the program the Brown Event, where we have Brown-related challenges.
A celebration of Brown.
It is indeed. And the prize, of course, we've heard all about that. It's a trip to Noumea. That's what you're in the draw for. 7 nights for two people, and it's class all the way.
Oh, yeah.
Unlike the segment today, we've got a simple Brown challenge for you. We want to hear you do an impression of Brian Brown. Mm-hmm. That's all we're saying. It can be Brian Brown going down the shops to buy a packet of ciggies. It can be Brian Brown singing a song. It can be Brian Brown presenting an award to somebody or any kind of circumstances as long as it's Brian Brown. Call us now, 1-800-657-657. It's Martin Malloy, the home of the Brown Event, and today we're talking Brian Brown. It's just that simple. Today's Brown Challenge is give us an impression of Brian Brown. Mick, introduce the Browns.
Well, Steve's our first contestant to Brown up. How are you, Steve?
Good. How are we going?
That's all right. I take it you're not in Brown mode already.
No, I've just browned over onto the side of the road here.
Okay, so. Nicely done. All right, well, let it rip. Here it is, Steve's impersonation of Brian Brown.
Rachel, get me another tinny, darling. See, you're a beaut, sort of bonzer, Sheila. Hey, how about this for a big cocktail?
Yes.
No
yes.
effects, special.
Yes. Yes, yes. Perhaps a little too expressive, but but not bad at all.
But he did pull over to do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a man who takes his browning seriously.
That's money in the bank as far as I'm concerned.
That's an opener.
Let's get to some more browns.
Let's see what Jeremy's been working on. G'day, Jeremy.
G'day, how are you going?
Not too bad. Feeling brown?
You want me to do it right now?
Oh, so you're going to do it. Okay. You get in the mode. We'll introduce you. Here he is. It's one young man called Jeremy. And watch out, because he's about to turn Brian Brown. Go. Hello, Jeremy.
That was it.
What was that?
That's when he's looking at the gorillas and gorillas in the mist.
Oh!
Don't want to make a noise and have one of those big hairy apes jump on you.
Exactly. So... So it's safe as well as being accurate.
That's right. I'm hiding behind a tree and I'm looking at gorillas.
Okay, now, Jeremy, can you do a quick Brian Brown being attacked by a gorilla for us? Very brown.
Yeah, it's pretty brown. Who have we got next, Mickey?
We're gonna have a yak to Glenn. G'day, Glenn.
How you going, fellas?
Not too bad. Okay, you ready to brown up?
Yeah, right, eh?
Let it rip. This here he is.
From cocktails.
From a cocktail. From Brian from Brown. Cocktails. Go for it.
I can see it now, young man. Cocktails and dreams in brown neon. Blink, 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 blinkety, blink.
Oh, do we have an Oscar? Do we have an Oscar for Glenn Gracie?
And so you've obviously seen Cocktail then, Glenn.
About 37 times, I think.
Is it a favourite of yours?
Yep.
You took up a bit of bar work and started throwing a few bottles around, did you, after that film came out?
Yep.
You've seen Cocktail 37 times, did you say?
Could have been 38.
Yeah, so... You just really like it, or were you taking a lot of plane trips about 2 years ago?
We used to strip down to our shorts in the middle of the winter and turn the heater up flat out and watch Cocktail.
Yeah. You realise you're on national radio, Glenn? Okay.
Good on you, Glenn.
Our next Brown is Jason. Jason, give us your Brian Brown.
Yeah, g'day, mate. Give us a pack of those Winnie's here, will you please, mate? Make it quick and better top it off with one of those nice ice coffees, mate.
Yeah. That's from Brian Brown's little-known Benson Hedges ad tone. You know he was the Benson Hedges man?
Well, I'm writing that down and filing
it. His performances have been every bit as mystifying as some of those ads. Where'd you come up with that concept, Jason?
Yeah,
there you go. I don't know whether I'm talking to Brian Brown or Jason. Where'd you come up with the concept for that?
Oh, I just seen him sucking on those bennies one day, mate, on the old, I think it was the FX show, that one.
The FX. How many times you seen FX?
Oh, I think it was about 40, mate.
Well, you've topped Glenn.
Right.
Okay, have we got time for one more
Let's
Brown?
Let's go. We can go Brown once more, can't we?
Yeah,
Let's
I think
put it
so.
Over the top. We got Kevin on the line. G'day, Kevin. Hello, Kevin. No, he's doing the gorillas again.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
already been
it's,
done.
It's already been done, I'm afraid. Yes, Kevin is our first lost caller today on Martin Malloy. Always a special.
Hey, get out of your seat.
Moving moment. But we're going to have to choose one from the Browns we've heard. Who's it going to be? I like the gorillas and the mist concept. I think that's big for ingenuity. But, Mick, what do you think?
Oh, I think I'm going to have to go with you on this one, Tone. Yeah. It's gorilla time.
Yes, it's in fact, was it Jeremy?
I think it was Jeremy. Are you there, Jeremy?
Yeah. You're still there.
Great, what do I win?
Well, no, hang on. Yeah, before I tell you what you win, you've got to make an acceptance speech, as Brian Brown would, at an awards ceremony. So you've just won an Oscar, Willie. You've just won the Brown album. And so could you make an acceptance speech?
That's great. Good to hear.
Okay.
Okay.
Well done.
Yeah, that's Brian Brown for my money. Now, yes, the news is good. You've got the Brown album, the Martin Malloy Brown album, coming out this week. You've also got the 4-pack of CDs. And listen to this, you've gone into the draw for the trip for two to Noumea, which we're drawing on this program next Friday.
Fantastic.
Okay, and you'll be...
Good to see you can identify real talent when you see it.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, from where I'm sitting, you're exhibiting the most amount of talent in the studio at the moment.
How can any quest for someone to impersonate Brian Brown be considered a search for real talent? That's what I'm worried about.
Well, it's just all part of the big program, and we'll be back with another Brown event tomorrow here on Martin Malloy. Malloy. Hey, Coolio, that's Coolio living in a gangster's paradise here on Martin Malloy. Can he get more than two words without saying gangster?
It's Coolio's paradise. What is it called? Coolio's, what is he calling it?
He's gangster's paradise.
Gangster's paradise. He's got a sign at the front. It's got gangster's paradise, population. Coolio. No one else is allowed in.
No.
It's his paradise. Get lost.
It's a one-man paradise. And congratulations to everybody who took part in the Brown event today. Yeah. And do you think it's got legs? Do you think we're going to make it to the end of next week?
I just hope it's brown enough. Because we've promised it's going to be brown. Was that brown enough?
That was pretty darn brown.
It was a brown event.
What about the Brown album itself? A lot of people listening, I think, are assuming that we're just making this whole Brown album thing up because of the Beatles anthology. But I'm telling you, there is a Martin Malloy Brown album.
It's two CDs. It's 132 minutes. And it's just a collection of, pretty blue jokes on a brown album.
It's bits and pieces from Martin Malloy throughout the year, and it's, I'd love to say it's the best of the show, but it's probably the brownest.
That'll get you into court.
We couldn't, there's no way we could put the best on. But congratulations to all. Have we got time for my Brian Brown impression, Mickey?
You sure you want to do this?
Okay,
here we go. Brown up.
Here we go. Here's my Brian Brown. Lightning crashes, that's live winding up another edition of Martin Malloy. And of course, we were asking you earlier to come up with a better, more spooky name for Shane St. James, the hypnotist. And the faxes are still coming in. Mickey, what do you got?
We've got one here. Salim Malik St. James. And he goes, I'll pay you $10,000 to act like a chicken. Supposed to be laughing. This is not a bad one. It's James St. James and a couple of others. But what's making me laugh is it's sent to us from a guy called Elvis Gonano. And I'm thinking, here's a guy who's poking fun at someone else's name. What about Elvis St. James? What about Gonad St. James?
Well, what about Jim? And Jim says, he's not suggesting Jim St. James. Mm. Jim's his name. He's suggesting Damien St. James. Mm-hmm. This is pretty spooky.
Yep.
And then Cable and John have written to us with Fester St. James.
Fester,
yeah.
As in old uncle.
Uncle Fester or Waldo St. James. Mm. And then we've got a fax here from Steve. And Steve reckons, my daughter thinks bananas and pajamas St. James. Well, he'd sell a lot of videos.
Absolutely.
Himself, that's for sure.
Everyone run around the joint
and,
like a banana in pyjamas.
Just before we sign off, Mickey, the Beatles anthology, I know, it's been overshadowed, obviously, with the release of the Brown album.
Yeah.
But have you been following it? Are you going to be there early tomorrow getting yourself a copy?
Yeah, I've already been following a bit of stuff on it. I saw a clip last night, and I think it was on the Overseas News Service, and I'm not sure if it's from this six-part series that's premiering Wednesday night, or it was just Paul McCartney. And he's speaking off the top of his head.
Yeah.
But he was under the griller, and they were asking him about the new album.
Yeah.
And he's going, what he's saying, he said, well, basically we've decided on the new album to open up with Freezer Bird because we think that's what the one everyone wants to hear, that they want to check out our work. They want to see if we're up to it. So there's going to be a lot of interest about that.
So that's track one. That's track one.
And he goes...
And then we're going to do a bit of a flashback.
Because you've got, I'm so surprised.
Because it's not like there's a big range of options.
Not at that point.
It'll be
Where do we go from here? Ringo puts his hand up. How about a flashback?
A flashback.
Good. We can do that.
Another six sides, I think. So that's coming out tomorrow and be there. But we must go. We must sign off. Thanks to our guests today, Andrew Goodwin, Michael Gadinsky. God knows what he's done with that bit of brown paper we saw.
Sitting in his office going.
Thanks to all our gladiators and all our Brian Browns.
The sword of Democles hangs precariously over their head.
We'll be back tomorrow with Chris Carter, creator of the X-Files. We promise he'll be here tomorrow, but until then, remember,
release the hounds.
If you can't say something intelligent, just say,
come talk to us.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production.